This morning is Sunday, September 16th, and this is the third class on Sechet Brachot Perek Dalet, Mishnayot, Hey, and Vav, the last class to sum up the whole thing. So the Mishnayot, the two Mishnayot that we began with, said, Haya Ruchev al Hamor, Yered. We may know Yechol Yered Yachazirat Panav. We may know Yechol Lachazirat Panav Yechaven et Libo Keneged Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim. There was a lot of important material there, but what we focused on, after all the secondary details we focused on, was the matter of the relationship between the object of Yechazirat Panav and the object of Yechaven et Libo. In this Mishnah, there's only one object written at the very end of the Mishnah. At the very end, it says, Yechaven et libo keneged Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim. He should direct his heart to Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim. And the clause before that had said, V'mino yechol lachzir et panav, etc. Yechaven. It never said to where you should yechzir et panav. Perhaps I should go back to the beginning just to make sure we understand the translation. Ha'irochev elachamo yered, if he was riding on a donkey, he should come down. V'mino yechol lered yechzir et panav, each if he can't come down, he should turn his face. It doesn't say turn his face to where. And he can't turn his face. He should focus his heart keneged Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim, towards the Kodesh HaKodeshim. And apparently, that object of keneged Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim, towards Kodesh HaKodeshim, is the object not only of the Yechaven et Libo, but also the object of Yechzirat Panav. In other words, both the heart and the body are being turned towards, are focusing on, are concentrating on Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim. And we mentioned that I could have thought differently. I could have thought that perhaps, when I say could have thought differently, I mean without the Mishnah, I could have thought that the body is turned towards Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim. That's halacha we all know, right? That we turn our faces, our bodies, our direction towards Yerushalayim, towards Eretz Yisrael, towards eventually Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim. But we could have thought that our hearts are turned someplace else, like to the Shekhinah, like to the Shemayim, like to Kodesh Baruch. It doesn't say that. It says that both the body and the heart are turned towards Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim. And discussing what that means, well, there are two possibilities, but they're both other than what we would have expected, I think. Either it means that you turn your heart towards God, but the avenue to connect your prayers to God is through Yerushalayim and through Har HaBayit and through the temple and through Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim. That is possible. The ultimate object is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But still to hear that you're supposed to focus your prayers through a certain particular physical place probably sounds a little bit more anthropomorphic or a little bit more physical than what we would have expected. That's one possibility. The other possibility is to take it even more literally. It doesn't say to God through Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim. It says just to Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim. And perhaps that means something even more physical, more anthropomorphic. That really the only place you direct your prayers to is to Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim. Apparently with the assumption being that that's the abode of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. In other words, I'm never going to suggest that God is not part of our prayers. But in some sense, those prayers are directed through Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim, either in the first sense I said, as an avenue towards wherever Kodesh Baruch Hu is, or as the place where Kodesh Baruch Hu is, in Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim. But whichever those two approaches you take, it's much, much more, like I said, anthropomorphical and much, much more physical, much, much more concrete and material than what we would have expected. And that basically is the major subject that's taking up our interest here. You'll just remember that the second Mishnah Zion says the same thing. Ayah Yishev B'Spina Ova Karon Ova Astai. He was riding or sitting in a boat or in a carriage or in a raft. And the assumption in those cases is he can't get off and he can't turn his face. But what he could do is Yichaven Et Libo Keneged Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim. He can turn his heart. And that's similar to the similar case of being on a donkey when you can't get off, you can't turn your face. At least you could yichaven et libo keneged Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim. So the main issue on the table is is theological to a certain degree. Is this Mishnah really telling us that the only way to turn towards a Kodesh Baruch Hu, to face a Kodesh Baruch Hu, to direct our prayers to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, is with the Beit HaKodesh HaKodeshim? Again, in one of the two senses, either as a conduit towards a Kodesh Baruch Hu, who is someplace else, or every place or nowhere, or whether it means really directly, that's where we understand a Kodesh Baruch Hu to be. Okay, so now we go into the different sources we saw. We first saw a Braita in the Talmud Bavli. We're not going to go over all the sources we saw, but just those that relate to the theological issue. So the Braita we saw in the Talmud Bavli was in the Gemara on our Mishnah. It's Brachot Daf Lama Demud Aleph. And we saw an interesting Braita.
Thank you.
And the Braita says it's the one that in the Steinsaltz edition is labeled as Gimel, near the bottom of the page, last third of the page. Tana Rabbanan. Is that okay? We're in the right place? We're together?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Suma. ומי שאינו יכול לכוון את הרוחות, יכוון ליבו כנגד אביו שבשמיים. Like we learned in a Braita, a blind person and someone who's not able to לכוון את הרוחות, to know the directions. Ruach here doesn't mean wind, it means direction. Doesn't know to establish the directions. You don't know where you are. And of course, I think in the modern era, when it most happens to us is when we're on the road, especially at the airport, you don't know which direction is east. Yichaven et libo keneged aviv b'shamayim. You should direct your heart towards aviv b'shamayim, towards Father in heaven. When you have no direction that you can turn your body to, then you turn your heart to aviv shabashamayim shenema v'yitpalu al Hashem. Brings the verse from the Chanukat HaBayit Rishon, the consecration, dedication of the first Beit HaMikdash through or by Shlomo HaMelech, when he gave a long tefillah at the ceremony, and that verse is from the Vitpalu al Hashem. Hayal med b'chutz la'aretz yichaven et libo keneged Eretz Yisrael. If he was, there's a new case now, second part of the Braita. It's not someone who's blind or someone that doesn't know directions, but it's a different person. Person who knows directions. And he is omed b'chutz la'aretz, he's standing in Dallas. Yichaven et libo keneged Eretz Yisrael. He should turn his heart towards Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar brings a verse again from the same tefillah of Shlomo. V'itpalu alecha derech artzam, and they will pray towards you by way of the land of Israel. Hayah omed b'Eretz Yisrael, if he was standing in Eretz Yisrael, not in Dallas, but already made it to Eretz Yisrael, then yichaven et libo keneged Yerushalayim, he should turn his heart towards Yerushalayim. Shenemar v'itpalu al Hashem derech ha'ir asher b'charta, they will pray towards God by way of the city which you have chosen. Hayah omed b'Yerushalayim yichaven et libo keneged Beit HaMikdash. If he was standing already in Yerushalayim, he should turn his heart towards Beit HaMikdash. Shenemar v'yitpalu el habayit hazeh. As the tefillah says, in the exact same place, all these verses from the same prayer, he should daven towards habayit hazeh, towards this building, the Beit HaMikdash. Hayah omed b'Beit HaMikdash, if he was already in the Beit HaMikdash, yichaven et libo keneged Beit Kodesh Kodeshim. Then, if he's already in the Beit HaMikdash, you should turn your heart towards Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim, Shene'amar v'tpalu el makom hazeh. And the makom hazeh, this place, is the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Haya omed b'Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim, already in the Beit HaKodesh HaKodeshim, yichaven et libo keneged Beit HaKaporet, the house of the covering, which means the Holy of Holies, where the Ark is with its covering, with its Kaporet, upon which is the Kruvim. The next passage is a little bit hard to understand, because it's a reality that doesn't exist. Haya omed acharei Beit HaKaporet, you were standing behind the Beit HaKaporet, yeretzmo kilu lifnei HaKaporet. You should see yourself as if you're in front of the Kaporet. Nimtza, it turns out, omed b'mizrach, machazir panav l'marav. It turns out, if he was standing in the east, he should turn his face towards the west. B'ma'arav, if he's in the ma'arav, in the west, machzir panav l'mizrach, he should turn his face towards the east. B'darom, if he's in the south, machzir panav l'tzafon, turn his face to the north. B'tzafon, machzir panav l'darom. And if he's in the tzafon in the north, he should turn his face to the darom, to the south. Nimtzau, it turns out, Kol Yisrael michavnim et liban lemakom echad. All the Jewish people are turning their hearts to one place. Okay, so we read this right already in the past, and we point out it makes no sense. Because it's like a Chinese menu. It's one from A and one from B. It's a conglomeration of different matters. Here it says, Yechazir et panav, should turn his face. Here it says, Yechaven et libo, he should turn his heart. And it doesn't seem to distinguish. It's unbelievable. Right, remember, the Breit is divided into three parts. Just to make sure we're talking the same thing. Three parts. The first part is the first 2.5 lines. First 2.5 lines. And then, in the middle of the 2.5 line, begins the second part. And that second part goes on all the way until almost the end of the page. Goes all the way until where it says, Nimtza. Nimtza. That's the beginning of the third part. Where my finger is. The second line here from the bottom. Nimtza. Okay, let's see how those three parts hang together. We'll begin with the second part, putting the first part aside. The first part just said again and again and again and again, if you're in place X, turn your heart to Eretz Yisrael. If you're a little closer, turn it to Jerusalem. A little closer, turn it to Har Habayit. A little closer, turn it to the Beit HaMikdash. A little closer, turn it to Kodesh HaKodeshim. But it was always about turn your heart, turn your heart, turn your heart, turn your heart, turn your heart. It was always about heart. Seemingly not talking about the body at all, talking about the heart. And then it summed it all up when it got to the third part of the Breit. Again, that's where it says Nimtza. Nimtza means it turns out. It's a summation. It turns out, Omed b'mizrach machzir panav l'marav. It turns out, if you're standing in the east, turn your face to the west. That's impossible to understand. It's like saying, if you have 5 oranges and 5 oranges and 5 oranges and 5 oranges, you have 20 apples. Don't know what to do with it. And then it confuses us again, because after it says that if it turns out that you're in, it turns out if you're in the east, you turn your face to the west, and the west, you turn it to east, the north, south, and the last line is, the last word in the line where my finger is before my arrow that says, turn, nimtzo, it turns out, kol Yisrael mechavnim et libam. But you just talked about, turned about your face. The libam goes back to the second part of the Breita. And again, you mix this up. You went from heart to face to heart. Confusing. And if we want to accept the text as it is, we have no choice but to assume that this Breita is taking a very, very organic and unified approach to human consciousness and human experience. In other words, we're not to distinguish between heart and body. Facing your heart and facing your body, it's all the same. We work as a unit. We don't separate between our souls, our hearts, and our body. If the heart is facing a certain place, that's where the body is. The body is facing a certain place, that's where the heart is. And all seems to be telling us not to make any distinctions. That makes sense. That's really fine. It's actually a very, very deep psychological, theological message that this Breita believes that we function as an organic unit. And we don't divide between heart and soul. I should say it correctly, between heart, soul, and body. It's all one. Ah, if that's so, how does it fit with the first part of the Breita? The first of the three parts? The first part, it said that a suma, someone who's blind and doesn't, or who doesn't know how to figure out the directions, should turn his heart, it said heart, keneged, towards Aviv v'shamayim, Father in Heaven. Why is it here telling us about Father in Heaven? Why is it not telling us about Beit HaMikdash, Beit HaMikdash, Beit HaMikdash, like the other part of the Breita? Because here, it's a person that cannot function as an organic unit. If you're blind, you don't know the directions, you can't turn your body in any particular place. All you can do is turn your heart. Here you have to really be a certain type of disjoint individual. Your body's out of the picture. It's not playing a role in this religious act of tefillah. All you have is your heart. When you have is your heart, then and only then can you turn towards God without a place. Because your body's not involved in it. But the minute your body's involved in it, and it's a physical body turning to a physical place, then your heart is returned to the same physical place. So the only person that relates to God outside of the realm of body and corporality is the person who can't use his body in Avodat Hashem. His body has to be put aside. But that is a bidiyavad, right? That's not the ideal. The ideal is to use your body and your soul together. And just one more word, and that apparently is a very, very authentic expression of the ideas in our Mishnah, that again didn't distinguish between body and soul. The Mishnah had said that both the machzirat panav, turning your face, and the chavenet libo, your heart, are both towards Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim. Goes together, a unit. That's point number one. Okay? Our atmosphere today is different. Today everyone is silent and quiet. And it's all because I started to talk and I didn't let you talk. But you can really talk. It's okay. Okay. And then we saw the Tosfot on this Brayta. Right? And that was here. Tosfot, this goes back to France in the 12th and 13th centuries. And said Tosfot, Hayao med bechutz la'aretz yichaven keneged eretz Yisrael. He was, or he is, standing in chutz la'aretz, in outside of eretz Yisrael, yichaven keneged eretz Yisrael. He should focus on eretz Yisrael. That's an exact quote from the Brayta, missing one word, which is? Okay, libo, right? He took out the word, or he doesn't have the word libo in his text. And then Tosfot says, indeed, velo garsinan libo. We don't textualize, that's my English translation, the word garsinan, we don't have in our text the word libo. And as we explained, it's either because, I shouldn't say because, it's either a matter of him purposely taking the word out, because it doesn't fit, or his text really didn't have it. There were competing manuscripts, and he's picking the manuscript that doesn't have it. So either it's a yesh mi'ayin textual emendation, ex nihilo, something from nothing, textual emendation, just based on the mind, or he has competing texts and he chooses one text. Why does he want the text not to have the word libo? Because the word libo is confusing. It went from libo to panav, to libo to panav, to body, heart, it was confusing. So we gave an explanation. It's an organic approach and they go together. Tosfot doesn't like that. He says what you have to do is take the word lave out, so it either says in some places yechzir et panav, turn his face. Other places it says yechaven, but doesn't say what it is that you're mechaven, what you focus. And he's going to assume if it doesn't say anything, it's the panim, the face, that's mentioned other places in the Brayta. So just go on and read it. I'll read again from the beginning and then go on. Haya omed bechutz la'aretz. Yichaven keneged Eretz Yisrael. End of the quote from the Brayta. And he says, V'lo garsinan libo, and we don't have in the text the word libo. De, a, panav kai. De, meaning she, because. A, meaning on, concerning. Panav, his face. Kai, it refers. In other words, that concerning his face, it refers. It can't be talking about his lave, because the rest of the writer is talking about panim. So if we take the word lave out, we'll just assume whenever it says yichaven, it means panav. Kidikatani seifa. I'll translate that word kidikatani ki, like, de, that, kitani, like we learned in the Seif in the end, like that we learned in the end of the Brayta, quote, Hayao mid mizrach, machzir panav, lemarav. Just like the end of the Brayta said, he was sending in the east, he should turn his face to the west, it's talking about face. Okay? So Tosfot is so confused by this going back and forth between panav and libo. He takes the word libo out. And we have to think now, so after he took the word libo out, and the Brayta is all about panav, it's all about turning your body to a certain direction, so what does Tosfot hold that where you turn your lave? It's not mentioned the lave in this part of the Brayta. So what do you think he told you to do with your lathe?
It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant.
I don't think it's irrelevant.
It can't be the same.
It can't be the same.
And so I'm going to say I think he thinks it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter.
That's pretty radical. I didn't think of that. I'm assuming that he's relying on the first part of the Braita, which he didn't refer to. First part of the Braita refers to a different person. Until now, I've been talking about someone who knows the directions, and he's standing here, he's standing there. But remember, the first part of the Braita is referring to a suma, a blind person, and someone who doesn't know the directions. Let's just go back there. Beginning of the Braita, suma, umishreino yechol lechavenet ruchot, a blind person and someone who doesn't know directions, yichaven libo keneged aviv b'shamayim, should turn his heart to his Father in heaven. Tosfot has that line. Tosfot has that the person who doesn't know directions turns his heart to God, aviv b'shamayim. But anyone knows directions, the Braita there only talks about, according to Tosfot, only talks about panav. Someone who doesn't know directions, the Braita only talks about lev. And it goes to heaven. Someone who knows directions, the right one talks about body. And there it says, turn towards Kodesh HaKodeshim. Apparently, Tosfot is holding that the first part of the Braita is true for the rest of the Braita as well. The first part of the Braita that says that someone who doesn't know directions turns his heart to heaven. And then it talks about someone who knows directions turns his body to Jerusalem and Har HaBayit. But the assumption, I think, of Tosfot is that that person who knows directions is still turning his heart to the place that the blind person turns his heart to God. So I think that's the simplest reading of it. Tosfot has what I'd call a non-organic understanding of what's going on, that the heart turns to God and the body turns to someplace else. To Beit Kodesh Kodeshim. It's divided up. It's nuanced.
Do you think that Tosfos has the last phrase of the Braita?
Oh, that's a good... Yeah, he has it, but he takes the word lev out of it. It nimso kol yisrael nichavnim et libam. He's going to take that word out. Look, he took it out every other place it appears in the second and third part of the Braita. So, if this is true, and I really don't see other ways of looking at it, the question arises, what is Tosfot do with our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah did have this organic approach that you turn both your body and your soul to Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim, your body and your heart to Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim. I don't know. I guess we could say that Tosfot is not an ideological commentator, except the Mishnah, because it says what it says. The Braita they didn't like because there was a mix-up of words. So he adjusted the words. So there's no mix-up. So it turns out now that the Braita and the Mishnah have two, as it were, competing theological conceptions, competing psychological conceptions. That probably doesn't bother Tosfot because he's not an ideological commentator. He's a textual commentator. However, the Rambam, as we saw last week, does make something of this on the theological level. But before we get to the Rambam, we'll go to the version of the Braita in the Yushalmi. And we saw the same Braita in the Yushalmi. We're not going to look at the Rambam right now, I just mentioned it. But we'll look at the Yushalmi first. So that's on the last page of the handout. The whole page is the Yerushalmi. And this is the Yerushalmi in the same perek that we're looking at of Masechet Brachot, in the same Mishnah. And just like the Bavli brings a Braita on the Mishnah, so the Yerushalmi brings the same Braita with slight differences. It's the same source, but there's a different tradition of how it's worded. Remember, of course, that all of Torah Sheval Peh in the period of the Braitot was oral. And there were sometimes different versions of of texts depending on how they developed in different oral traditions. So here you have, near the bottom of this page of the Yerushalmi, in brackets, the same braita. And it says, Tani, everyone see the place? Tani. Suma, umi sheino yechol lechavenet deruchot. Right, those words are word for word from our braita. I'll just read it again. If anyone wants to look back at the first version, the one in the Bavli, you can compare and see that it's the same words. Suma, umi sheino yechol lechaven et deruchot. Harei elu mitpalalim klapei ma'alan. Behold, these pray towards above. Different wording that we had in the Bavli. The Bavli said, Yechaven et libo kineged aviv shebashmaim. He should focus his heart on Father in heaven. Here it says, pray towards above. But it's the same idea. Shneman brings a verse, and it brings the same verse that the version in the Bavli brought. Vitpalu el Hashem. Pray to God. And of course, that's the end of the first part of the Braita. Then we go on to the second part. Homdim umitpalim b'chutz la'aretz. Those who are standing and davening in chutz la'aretz. And that's similar to the wording in the Bavli, which was, the Bavli it was, haya omid b'chutz la'aretz. That was, he was standing in chutz la'aretz. Here it says, standing and davening in chutz la'aretz. And what does the Yerushalmi say? It says, hovchim et paneihem. They turn their faces. Whereas the Bavli had said, Yichaven et libo.
Of course, there's a distinction between a group of people davening versus a single person.
That's true, but I don't think that's the point. You're right, that one is the single, one's in the plural. But what's more important for us is that the Bavli talks about Yichaven et libo. The Yerushalmi talks about Hofchim, turn their penehem, their faces. And that's consistent in every single part of the Braita right now. We'll just continue reading on. So we read that it said, in the second line, since my bracket, Homdim umitpalim bechutz la'aretz, hovchim et peneihem, they turn their faces, klapei, towards Eretz Yisrael. Umatam, what's the reason? And it brings the same verse that the version in the Bavli had brought, Vitpalalu alecha derech artsam. They should dive into you by way of their land. And it brings the rest of the verse also, which the Bavli didn't bring. Shenatata lavotam, which you gave to their forefathers. Period. Haomdim umitpalim be'eretz Yisrael. Those who are standing and davening in Eretz Yisrael, just like the version of Bavli had said, those who are in Eretz Yisrael, what do they do? In the Bavli it said, it said, Mechavnim et libam. They should focus their hearts. Here it says, Hofchim et penehem. They should turn their faces, Klapei Yushalayim, towards Yushalayim. Again, the exact same concepts, but instead of saying live, it says panim. And that brings the verse. Umatam, what's the reason? Mitpalu alecha derech ha'ir asher b'charta. They should daven to you by way of the city which you chose, the same verse found, etc., etc., etc. We can read it now a little bit more quickly. Haomdim umitpalim biYushalayim, those who are standing and davening in Yushalayim, chovchim peneihem, turn their faces, klapei harabait, towards harabait. Shenemar brings the verse, v'abait asher banita l'shimcha, the house which you built for your name. That's a different verse than the one brought in the Bavli, but it's the same idea. Homdim mitpalim b'harabait, those who are standing and davening on harabait. Hovchim peneihem, turn their faces, klapei beit kodesh kodeshim, towards the kodesh kodeshim. Umatam, what's the reason? Mitpalu, makom hazeh. And the verse from Tfilat Shlomo says, they should daven towards this place, v'ta tishma el machon shiftacha l'shamayim v'shamat v'salachta. It brings the whole verse, whereas the Bavli only brought the first few words of it. Nimtzau, it turns out, just like the Bavli said at the end, nimtza, right, it turns out, haomdim b'tzafon peneihem l'derom, those who stand in the north, their faces, again it's faces, to the south. Haomdim l'derom, those who are standing in the south, peneihem, their faces, to the tzafon, to the north. Haomdim b'mizrach, those standing in the east, peneihem l'ma'arav, their faces to the east, l'ma'arav, those standing in the west, peneihem l'mizrach, their faces to the east. Nimtzo, it turns out, ko Yisrael mitpalalim el makom echad. Turns out all the Jews are davening towards one place. So the Braita in the Yerushalmi is consistent. It's talking about face, and that's talking about heart. When did it talk about heart? Only in the first part, in which it was a person who's blind or doesn't know the directions. There it said that they... even there it didn't say heart. It just said they pray towards above. But that obviously meant not their faces, because they don't know, a blind person doesn't know directions. And certainly when you're davening, you don't lie on your stomach and look up. It meant heart there. So it turns out that this version of the Braita and Yerushalmi is exactly what Tosfot ordered. It's what Tosfot wants. Now, we don't know if Tosfot made his emendations in the Bavli on the basis of this, or on the basis simply of Sfarah, of his mind. There are many cases in which Tosfot didn't have a copy of Talmud Yerushalmi in his library. I should say in their library. Tosfot are a school that's going on for 200 years, but in many cities in France they didn't have the Yerushalmi. But in any case, the Shita, the approach of the Yerushalmi, is the approach of Tosfot, whereas the Bavli has a different approach.
He's come up with an interesting problem, though, and that is the plurals here versus elsewhere. And arguing on the one hand whether it's libor panim that you're turning, that's one argument, but that's governing an individual, and that's, you know, one could make the argument that however one turns, it's because of the machloket, more or less, it's still correct to daven, either way that you choose. Ultimately, if it was that or not davening at all, that's an argument. But the one you're pointing out is a critical one.
I'm sorry, can you say that again? I didn't quite follow what you meant.
The arguments that we've been having are, mm-hmm, basically, as an individual, the crux of my argument here is governing a group, governing an individual. Mm-hmm. That's the crux of it. Where we've been going up until now has been all around governing an individual. I'm going to face this way, or I'm just going to think I'm facing that way, right? Is what it comes down to. Okay? Your argument is, how do we govern a group of people in the face of this fierce argument?
Well, you said it or. It's not or. I can face Israel and I can turn my heart to Israel. I can do both.
Yeah.
So where is the discrepancy between us? If we all say to ourselves, we need to face Israel, which way is that? And, by the way, guys, remember to turn your hearts to Israel. There's no...
But
you can say, I mean, in response to what you... You know, the point about the plural, you can say, and they turn their hearts to. There's no problem with saying that.
Except we haven't specified what they do as a group, where we have as an individual. So maybe it's different for a group, or maybe it's not. It's essential because they're a group, and maybe have some extra, you know, kavanah concentration by virtue of being a group of people, you know, dominating together. Do you want to open up this 20 apples versus 20 oranges debate in a group, or do you want to have some kind of guidance for a group? That's a critical element. If we're all going to sit here and argue, and I don't agree with you that it's I don't agree with you that it's an and the reason I don't agree is that as I go back and forth looking at this, it's, are you standing to the south of Beit HaMikdash, so make sure you turn to the north. On and on and on like that, all the details going on and on and on. But on the other hand, when you come to a group of people, give me some guidance. What's the, in effect, kind of the least common denominator, or what's some guidance for a group?
So I think it makes no difference whether it's a group or an individual.
I think it would be the same as a single foot. There's no difference. There is no difference between a group or a single foot.
But they're arguing, and this is where I'm not sure I follow whether we've got ands or ors.
arguing whether you're physically facing versus intellectually facing.
All the sources agree that physically you face in a certain direction. The question is, does your heart face in the same direction as your body does? That's the question. And I don't see a reason to say that it would be different for a group.
Okay, so that may be a point I've lost, because I heard the argument about whether
just say
I enter my body or not.
No, there's no such argument as that. It's clear in all the sources that we all turn our bodies to Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, Har HaBayit, Beit HaMikdash, Kodesh HaKodeshim. That's clear. The body is turned in one direction and one direction only. The question is the heart turned in that same direction? Some sources say yes, the heart is turned in the same direction as the body. Other sources say no, the heart is not turned in the same direction as the body. The heart is turned someplace else, to Mala, or to Avinu Shebashamayim. Now, to claim that there's a difference in where the heart is turned depending on individual versus group, I don't see any basis for that, not textually and not philosophically. Yeah. Okay?
So what is the Rambam saying?
Very good. We have to get to the Rambam. So we said the Mishnah has this organic view. There are two different versions of the Brayta, one organic view with the heart being the same direction as the soul, whereas in the Yerushalmi it might be different, that the body is turned towards Yerushalayim, but the heart is turned mala, above. And Tosfot, either knowing Yerushalmi or not, accepts the same direction as the Yerushalmi, that we have this division between body and soul. And then we come, well, you know what? Let's wait with the Rambam for a moment. Let's see a source or two that we didn't see last time. And these are the sources that I thought would be a little bit difficult to do in Charuta. That's what we're doing all together. It's this page. Yeah, this page. And we're looking at the second source, which is Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah. Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah, it means that his students, Rabbeinu Yonah's students, put together this commentary. It's a commentary on the Reef. The Reef is the Alfasi, who's a halachic summary of the Chas. And Rabbeinu Yonah is in the end of the 13th century, the beginning of the 14th in Spain. He's one of Talmidei Ramban, same time as the Rashba. And actually, Rabbeinu Yonah is known for a number of great things. Historically, he's known for the fact that he was a major player in the Maimonidean controversy. Right? Throughout Jewish history, there have been occasional eruptions of conflict between the rationalists and the anti-rationalists. And one of them occurred in the generations after the death of the Ramban. And Rabbeinu Yonah was a staunch anti-rationalist, and he was among those who spoke against the Rambam very, very strongly. And in the end, it turned out that the matter went very far, if anyone knows the historical circumstances, but the church picked up on the internal Jewish controversies, and in the end, it turned out that the Talmud was burnt in cities through Spain. And Rabbeinu Yonah, after seeing the great destruction caused by the internal Jewish controversy, he was Chozer B'Tshuva. And he spent a number of years going throughout Spain, speaking at every single Beit Knesset of every town he went to, apologizing for his role in the Maimonidean controversy. And he brought together some of his Tshuva Drashot that he gave in these synagogues, and he published a book that was his expression of contrition for his role in the Maimonidean controversy. And I'm just trying to remember, I just lost the name of the book. Orchot Tzadikim. No, it's not Orchot Tzadikim. Ask anyone. I never just forgot the name of the book. He wrote a whole book on Tshuva. Orchot Tzadikim. Sorry. Okay. So let's read Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah here. Again, end of the 13th century, beginning of the 14th. See the bracket and top line?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So is this going to reflect before or after?
Oh, no, this has nothing to do. Sorry, this has nothing to do with the monument in controversy. I was just mentioning that because it's something that is well known. You can look in the Encyclopedia Judaica and see exactly what years it was and what the name of the book was. I have it on my shelf. Yeah. Okay. Haya Omed Bechul. He was standing in Chul, which is an abbreviation for Chutz Laretz, for the diaspora. And he's just now quoting the Braita. Yechaven et libo keneged Eretz Yisrael. So we see which version he's quoting. Of course, the Babylonian version, the standard version. And then he says, last word of the line, velo tema keneged Eretz Yisrael bilvad, and don't say towards Eretz Yisrael exclusively, ela keneged Eretz Yisrael. Rather, he turns his heart towards Eretz Yisrael, the keneged Yushalayim, and towards Yushalayim, the keneged Beit HaMikdash, and keneged Beit HaMikdash, and keneged Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim. The kshomed b'Yushalayim, if he's sending Yushalayim already, ein tzirich lechaven, that abbreviation is ein tzirich, aleph tzadi. He doesn't need, ein tzirich, doesn't need, lechaven keneged Yushalayim, doesn't need to face his heart towards Yushalayim, sharei kfar omed betocha, he's already there. Aval yesh lechaven keneged Beit HaMikdash, but he has to lechaven, to focus on Beit HaMikdash, the keneged Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim. V'kshomed v'azaran, he's standing in the courtyard of the temple, shacharei ha-kaporet, that's behind the kaporet, imomed b'tzafon, chozer panav l'darom. If he's standing in the north, he turns his face to the south. Kedei shelo yeh achorav l'mikdash, so his back won't be to the mikdash. Ela panav klapei mikdash. Rather, his face should be to the mikdash. V'chein l'chol etzadim, and so to all the sides. Shomed bazara, when he's standing in the azara, standing in the courtyard. Acharei kaporet, behind the kaporet. Yesh lo lachzor panav klapei mikdash. He has to turn his face to the mikdash. Kedemifaresh fazil, like it explains and go on. Kedei shimtzu Yisrael michavnim libam l'makom mechad. In order that it'll turn out that all Yisrael is focusing their hearts to one place. So we have to figure out what he's saying, and we have to first figure out what's bothering him. So to figure out what's bothering him, we'll go back to the source and look. So let's go back to the Braita in the Bavli, the first page of the handout. And we're looking in the second part of the Braita that begins in the, after two and a half lines, begins the third line with the fourth word, Haya Omed B'chutz Laretz. Right? Have it? Say yes? Thank you.
Yes.
Haya Omed B'chutz Laretz. He was standing in Chutz Laretz. Yechaven et libo keneged Eretz Yisrael. He should turn his heart towards Eretz Yisrael. That bothers Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah. What's bothering him? Why is that statement not so sensible? Why does it bother us? If he's in Eretz Yisrael, I'm sorry, if he's in Chutz Laretz, he should turn his heart towards Eretz Yisrael.
Because the point isn't the land, it's ultimately the Holy of Holies.
Right. In other words, if it was only talking about the body, then I understand the body can't turn towards Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim from Dallas. It's too far away. But you can turn the general direction of Eretz Yisrael. But if it's talking about the heart, then why doesn't it say what it means? Why doesn't it say what it means? That's the problem that's bothering. We never talked about that yet. We didn't talk about it. We didn't think of it. Now, if that's the problem, then let's think of alternative solutions. Not just what he suggested, perhaps an alternative solution. So what's an alternative solution? How could we solve the problem of why does it say turn towards Eretz Yisrael and doesn't say turn towards the Holy of Holies? So what's a possible answer?
It means your body.
Because it only means the body, right, exactly. In other words, here's a proof in a certain sense, in the structure of the Braita, that the version in the Yushalmi is really more authentic than the version in the Bavli. Should I say it again? Is that clear? Steve?
No, I'm just wondering how could the Yerushalayim be more authentic?
Okay, so then we'll take a break of 2 minutes and answer that.
No,
it's a good question.
You asked me what I was thinking.
Is it possible, or is there any historical reason to think that the version of the Yerushalmi is more authentic than the version of in the Bavli? The answer is yes. In general, there are two things that have to be said. One is that Eretz Yisrael is closer to the source of tradition than Bavel is. Like the Mishnah was formulated and Torah Shabbat Peh was basically developed in Eretz Yisrael. The move of Am Yisrael to Bavel over the course of a number of decades and even centuries, it could very well have had connected to it a certain break of tradition, right? We know in every migration a certain break of tradition. That, of course, allowed for greater creativity, but if you want authenticity, then you would often say, let's go to the Yerushalmi, which is being developed in the same yeshivot that the Mishnah was learned in, the same places, the same organic locale. That's point number one. Point number two, the Talmud Yerushalmi is much, much rougher, as opposed to the Bavli, that's much, much more edited. The Yerushalmi explains less, has less connecting statements, less editorial additions. It's just a thing as it is. The Bavli has much, much more litush. It's much, much more finely edited. The jagged corners are fixed. Things are explained. Reconciliations are created, which is good for understanding, but it still could often lead us to believe that the Yerushalmi might oftentimes reflect more authentic and ancient traditions. So that's a rule that doesn't always hold, but there is a basis to say that yes, the Yerushalmi might have a more authentic tradition. So to go back now, to close the parentheses and go back, since the Braita says if you're standing in X place, turn to Y, if you're standing closer to Y, focus in more, that matter, focusing in more makes much more sense vis-a-vis the body than vis-a-vis the heart. Because the heart can tune in on Beit Kodesh Kodashim wherever you are, even in Australia. And therefore, that leads us to believe, I'm just repeating myself, that the version in the Yerushalmi that talked about panim and not about lev, perhaps hangs together better. Fine. But that David said, but Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't say that. He wants to take a different direction. He doesn't know about the Yerushalmi or ignores it because he has the Bavli. He works with the Bavli. He wants to explain what is the Bavli talking about lev, not mention, not say that your lev, you focus immediately on Kodesh HaKodeshim. Why does it say Eretz Yisrael, then Yerushalayim, then Mikdash, then Kodesh HaKodeshim? Why does it go in those stages? Those stages are more fitting for body than for lev. So his answer is, it means that. How can I explain this? It's very simple, but it's hard to explain. Of course, when it says focus on Yerushalayim, it means Yerushalayim and Beit HaMikdash and the courtyard and Kodesh HaKodesh. It means all that, but it doesn't say it. Why doesn't it say it all? Because the structure is that it means all that, but the way it phrases it is, as you get closer, you don't have to focus through the earlier stages. In other words, when you're in Chutz Laaretz, you focus your heart through Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, Har Habayit, Beit HaMikdash, Kodesh HaKodeshim. When you get closer, you're no longer in Chutz Laaretz, you're now in Eretz Yisrael, you take off the first stage. You don't have to focus now through Eretz Yisrael, you're there already. Just focus through Yerushalayim, Beit HaMikdash, Har Habayit, Beit HaMikdash, Kodesh HaKodeshim. You get to the next stage, you're ready in Yerushalayim. Don't have to focus on Eretz Yisrael or Yerushalayim. Just focus on the following stages. In other words, that's the reason for the structure. It always assumes you're going all the way through all these stages, but as you get closer, it takes away one stage. which, by the way, is the exact way that our Mishnah was structured. This is not off the wall what he's saying. That's the same structure as the Mishnah. Because if you remember the Mishnah, what did the Mishnah say? It says, Hayah ruchev alachamor yered. But when it said yered, it meant much more than that, right? Right? What did it mean also? Yered and? And yechzirat panav. And yechavenet libo. But it didn't say the rest of the stages. It left them for the end. V'imino yuchol achzir, I'm sorry, Hayah ruchev alachamor yered, and it infers all the rest of the stages. V'imino yuchol yered yechzirat panav, and also infers the next stage of your panav and libo. V'imino yuchol achzirat panav yechavenet libo keneged beit kodesh. It gives you the final point only at the end, even though clearly it's inferring all them, it's assuming them at the beginning. So that is a legitimate structure. It's not off the wall. So what did we gain by looking at Talmud Rabbeinu Yonah? He helped us with a deeper understanding of the structure of the Braita. He helped us to see that the version of the Yerushalmi perhaps makes more sense the version of Bavli. But then he also explains that the version of Bavli also makes sense. It's based on the structure of the Mishnah. But you don't mention the final point until you get there, even though you mean it all the time. But what we can also add is that Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah was very, very clear, and he was very adamant that body and soul go together. That this turning of the, it's talking about turning of the heart, just like it's talking about turning of the body, and they go together. Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah holds like the Mishnah, holds like the version in the Braita, in the Bavli. It's an organic unit. We daven to God through the Mikdash. Again, whatever that means, that the Mikdash is a conduit for the prayers to go up to heaven, or we really believe in a certain sense the Kodesh Baruch was only in the Mikdash, whatever it means, the prayers are really focused on the Mikdash. Okay. Another source? Anyone can stop me at any stage. Okay, so the next source we want to see is on that same page. And we're going to look at the bottom of the page, the Divrei Hamudot. And this is a commentary, this is an Acharon. I don't even know who wrote it. It's an Acharon, not a Rishon. In other words, we're in the period of the Achronim, after the Shulchan Aruch, after the year 1550. A commentary on the Rosh Rabbeinu Asher, who's a commentary on the Gemara, found at the back of the Gemara. And it begins with the words, Yichaven Keneged Eretz Yisrael. And he begins by quoting what we just read. He quotes the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah. So I'll just read it. Yichaven Keneged Eretz Yisrael. The words Eretz Yisrael are written as an abbreviation, Aleph Yud. And he quotes, V'lo Tema Keneged Eretz Yisrael Bilvad. Don't say towards Eretz Yisrael exclusively, Ela Keneged Eretz Yisrael, V'Keneged Yerushalayim, V'Keneged Beit HaMikdash, V'Keneged Kodesh HaKodeshim. It means all the rest of the stages, like we said. V'Kshomed Yerushalayim, and when it stands in Yerushalayim, Ein Tzarech, that's an abbreviation, Aleph Tzadi, Ein Tzarech. Ein Tzarech L'Chaven Keneged Yerushalayim, the stage of facing the Yerushalayim is gone, it's already there. Shareik for Omed, Betocha, for behold, already he's standing in it. Aviyish lechaven keneged Beit HaMikdash. But there is to focus towards Beit HaMikdash, that abbreviation, Bet Yud Hei Mem Kuf, is Beit HaMikdash. The keneged Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim, and to the Kodesh HaKodeshim, V'chule, etc. And then comes two abbreviations. Chaf Chaf is Kach Katav, so wrote. And then Taf Hei Reish Yud, Talmidei HaRabbeinu Yonah. So he just quoted until now the Talmidei HaRabbeinu Yonah, didn't say anything new. V'muchrach Nami Me'a Mishnah. And it's proven also from the Mishnah. he's just going to prove the Reino Yonah from the Mishnah. The Muchrach Nami Mea Mishnah, it's proven also from the Mishnah, Daha Tanan, that behold, Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, quote, Hayaru Chevel HaChamor B'chule, he was riding on the donkey B'chule. Yichaven Libo, Keneged Beit Kodshei HaKodeshim. It says he must focus his heart on Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim. Ubevadai shelo yirkov al hachamur shuba kodesh bebeit hamikdash. Now certainly he's not riding on the donkey in the Beit Hamikdash. In other words, he's outside of the mikdash, but it skipped all those stages. He's basically saying what I said already. I didn't do it in the right order. I should have explained this after I read the Talmidei. I'm sorry, the Beit. The Divrei Chamudot, he's saying you can learn from the Mishnah that that's the way things are structured. That the Mishnah doesn't mention the stages that you have to go through afterwards. Okay.
What do we suppose it means to say? Do we think there's significance in saying, focus your heart on Kodesh HaKodeshim? Am I saying it right? Kodesh HaKodeshim through the temple, through Jerusalem, through Israel. Is there significance in saying that? Is it me?
Okay, that's good time for discussion of that. I think there's a lot of things that could be said at this point. It means, at the most minimal level, that not only our bodies, but also our hearts must focus our tefillah, and this is going to be reminiscent of what you were saying 10 minutes ago, but it's not exactly the same thing, but it's certainly very similar. It means that we focus our hearts and not just on our bodies in a collective fashion. What I mean by that is the following, that if everyone is praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then everyone has their own way to do it. That's an individualistic thing. But if we're being told how to do that you have to be thinking of certain very standard things, it means that the channels of tefillah are collective and not individual. Everyone has to be focusing God in the same way. And that is a collectivization of tefillah, both horizontally and vertically. I mean, it means that all the people in our Beit Knesset and all the people in our generation are focusing their tefillah through the same conduit, but even it means that our generation is focusing in the same conduit as previous generations. Everything is going through Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim and Har HaBayit and the Temple and Kodesh HaKodeshim. That's one point, the collectivization of things. And also, to a certain degree, I think it anthropomorphizes that tefillah is something that goes through Beit HaMikdash. It's less spiritual, if you will, or less disembodied. Right? The tefillah, our connection to God, is through the physical, very through the physical. And it goes as far as something I suggested in the first class on this subject, and I think Amiram objected, and I accepted his objection, but now I'm going to parry the objection. I had said that perhaps this approach is telling us that we have to see our tefillot as a replacement for the korbanot. It's going through the temple. Going back to what we discussed many weeks ago about whether the tefillot are personal outpourings of the soul or the replacements for the korbanot. So I had said 2 weeks ago that this approach, that the tefillah goes through Eretz Yisrael and goes through Shlaim and goes through Har HaBayit and goes through the temple and goes through Beit Kodesh Kodeshim, is part and parcel of the approach that this tefillah is a replacement for korbanot. We should see ourselves as offering korbanot. So when I said that, Amiram said, I think it was you, perhaps it was someone else, but I think it was you, I said, wait a second, it says we focus on Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim.
No, it was somebody else.
Wasn't it was someone else? Okay, someone else. We focus on Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim, and there's no korbanot Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim. The korbanot are in the Azara, in the courtyard. So I thought for a few minutes, I said, you're right. But I think I can maintain that position, because focusing on Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim, that's the center of the temple, but the what goes on in the temple is what goes on in the Azara, the Korbanot. And if you're focusing on Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim, it means you're focusing on Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim, but it certainly could mean that your thoughts are going through the Azara, through the Avodah, in the courtyard, to Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim. The main idea in the temple is the Korbanot. So if that's the case, then this approach is really telling us that not just our tefillot collectivized, and not just our tefillot to a certain degree concretized and anthropomorphized, but it even means we're seeing the tefillah, we're seeing ourselves standing there and offering a korbanot. And that's what the tefillah is. It's a replacement for a korbanot. It's a visualization of the korbanot. That's some of my suggestions of what all this means. Yeah. Have any comments? Any, David, anyone else?
Well, I took in what you just said. I was really trying to ask something, I think, less significant. And that was, you sort of said, we can understand why we would say, standing here in Dallas, why we would say, face Israel, instead of saying, face the Holy of Holies. Well, it comes to the same thing, but it's just easier to sort of visualize. We can see the map. We can say, okay, face east. So we just say face Israel. Comes to the same thing. If we're in Israel, we face Jerusalem. That comes to the same thing as facing the Holy of Holies. On the other hand, you said, if we're talking about focusing our heart, well, we can focus our heart on the Holy of Holies. I mean, that's a matter of thought, and we can mentally transport ourselves, we can picture, we can do whatever that means, right? And in light of that observation, the latter observation, if this is saying focus on the Holy of Holies through the temple, through Jerusalem, focus on meaning not turn your body to but your heart. But we said, well, what's the significance of that? Of saying focus on Israel, pretend you're going to Jerusalem. That's what I was...
But what I said also answers that. Is that all those physical, concrete stages have to be part of our tefillah. Again, it's not just direct to heaven. It goes through Jewish geography, Jewish history. We're all doing it together. The tefillah is indeed focused on the very physical. Okay, so that's certainly the opinion of the Mishnah and of the version of the Bright and the Bavli, and the Rabbeinu Yonah, Divrei Hamudot, and it's written in Shulchan Aruch, and that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. That seems to be the halacha. But the Rambam holds differently. The Rambam is a different version. And we might expect that the Rambam is a philosopher who would like the tefillot to be disconnected from the physical and from the anthropomorphic. The Rambam holds differently. And the Rambam seems to be basing himself on what source would it be? The source we saw just now? If we want to rip asunder the lave from the panim, which source allows us to do that?
The Yerushalmi.
Right? And we're going to read the Rambam now, and although many Mefarshim didn't notice this, but the easiest way to understand the Rambam is simply as a rejection of the Bavli and accepting of the Yerushalmi. So we have two different sources for the Rambam. We're going to read both of them. Let's read on the second page of the handout, the very top of the page, where it says Mishnah Torah, Hilchot Tefillah, Perek Hay. There the Rambam says, top of the page, right? Halacha Gimel. Nochach HaMikdash Ketzad. Presence of the Mikdash How, or turning towards the Mikdash How. And he's going to be quoting our famous sources we've seen again and again and again. Hayah Omed B'chutz La'aretz Machzir Panav Nochach Eretz Yisrael U'mitpalel. Hayah Omed B'aretz Michavenet Panav Keneged Yerushalayim. Right? Hayomed b'Yerushalayim mechaven panav keneged the mikdash. All makes sense. Hayomed b'mikdash mechaven panav, it's all panav, 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 keneged beit kodesh kodeshim. Steve, it's not... It should be the same page we were on with the Talmidei Uvin and Yonah.
I'm sorry.
It's all about focusing your face, your face, your face, your face. It's all about turning. No mention of heart. And then he says at the end, Suma, the blind person, and someone who can't focus the directions, right? It's a quote from the Braita. And he all adds, Ba'malech b'spina, and someone who's going in a spina, in a ship, again, he can't focus his, he can't turn his body. Yechavenet libo, keneged ha-shechina v'yitpalel. He should turn his heart to the shechina and daven. So the Rambam has a clear distinction between body and soul. To all the people that can face their bodies, he says, face your bodies to the direction that we're talking about. But those people can't face their bodies, only face their heart to the Shekhinah. It doesn't say face their hearts to Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim, just to the Shekhinah. But that's not all. Let's see another source in the Rambam before we put it all together. The other source in the Rambam is the next page. Top of the next page. Here the Rambam is still in Hilchot Tefillah, but now he's not talking about what he's talking about earlier. He's talking about Ketzad Hi HaKavana. How is Kavana? And the word Kavana refers to the heart. Sheyifane et libo, that he should empty his heart. Mikol HaMakshavot, from all thoughts, v'yireh atzmo, and see himself, ke'ilu hu omed, as if he is standing lifnei, in the presence of the Shekhinah. When the Rambam talks about heart, about Kavanah, he says nothing about focusing your heart on Eretz Yisrael, or Yerushalayim, or Beit HaMikdash, or Kodesh HaKodeshim. It's all about the Shekhinah. So the Rambam has a more nuanced, and a more, if you want, disjointed understanding. The face turns towards the places. The heart turns towards God, period. That's all. The thoughts in your heart during tefillah have nothing to do with the mikdash, nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael, nothing to do with anything physical. It's just lifnei ha-shechinah. You're in the presence of God. And God is everywhere. God is nowhere. It doesn't really, that's theology, but God has nothing to do with Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim. Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim and Eretz Yisrael, they're physical points that we focus on with our bodies, but our souls are someplace else. And again, the source for that is in the Yerushalmi, or if you will, in the Tosfot. Because the Yerushalmi distinguished. The Yerushalmi said that all this turning towards places is only about Panav. It's only about Panav. Whereas the heart is turned toward, in the words of the Yerushalmi, klapei ma'alan, towards above. The Rambam translates that into Shekhinah. It's the same thing. And I think it works out very well. It seems to me that this is a halachic argument that has deep theological significance. The Rambam, as the philosopher, as the warrior against anthropomorphism, who's trying to make religion intellectual and spiritual, to take it out of the realm of the physical, he cannot have us davening with our hearts turning towards Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim. It's almost idolatry. And we'll end with a commentator that actually uses that word, that all this big mikdash stuff for turning your heart comes close to idolatry. So here we go, the last source, and we'll start reading the source as the Kula board starts throwing us out of this room, but we'll maintain our positions.
Don't stand up no matter what they say.
It's this page. Okay. is the Prisha. The Prisha is a commentary on the Tor, on Arbat Torim, written by Rav Yeshua Falk, who was born in 1555. So he's one of the last of the Rishonim. That's the year that we can start counting the Achronim, the last of the Rishonim. And this is really powerful, if you know what he's understanding, saying. So look at my bracket, the second line. Katav Rabbeinu Yonah, said Rabbeinu Yonah, wrote Rabbeinu Yonah, lo tema, he's just quoting, many lines I'll just quote, lo tema keneged Eretz Yisrael, don't say towards Eretz Yisrael bilvad, exclusively, ele keneged Yerushalayim, keneged Beit HaMikdash, keneged Kodesh HaKodeshim. That was Rabbeinu Yonah, when it says turn your heart towards Eretz Yisrael, it means all the rest of the stages. Last two words of the third line, V'chein haya omed be'eretz Yisrael. And so if you're standing in Eretz Yisrael, tzrich shichaven Yerushalayim, u'beit HaMikdash. You have to have all the further stages. End of the fourth line, four lines, words from the end, V'chein katav beit Yosef. That bet yud is the beit Yosef, Rav Yosef Karo. U'pireish b'shulchan aruch. And he explained in the Shulchan Aruch, Rav Yosef Karo wrote the Shulchan Aruch, she'echzir panav keneged Eretz Yisrael. They should turn your face towards Yisrael, v'chaven gam Yishalayim. And should turn, and he could think also about Yishalayim and all the further stages, like we've been talking, v'chulei. V'ratzalomar, and he means to say, beginning of the sixth line, v'ratzalomar, means to say, y'chaven bidato, in his mind. V'afal pishi yafshar lachzir panav kenegdo. Even though you can't turn your face to the focal point of the Kodesh Kodeshim, but your heart, your dot, is thinking already of the point of Kodesh HaKodeshim. Right? All this is review. Don't make a big deal about it. Vayein Sham, it's the beginning of the seventh line. Venereli, and it seems to me, here comes the point. Everyone see the place? Venereli? Venereli, Shiachzir Neged Eretz Yisrael Davka. But it seems to me he should turn towards Eretz Yisrael Dafka, not towards the further points. When it says Eretz Yisrael, it means stop there. Why stop there? Because it's only talking about the face, and the face can't go further. Right? In Dalit, you can't turn your face towards anything but Eretz Yisrael. You can't turn to Beit HaMikdash. It's too much of a fine point. Divadai hamakshava vakivun, that certainly the thought and the focus Ra'ui shetiyeh keneged avinu shavashamayim. It should certainly be your focus of your heart should only be towards avinu shavashamayim. Livado exclusively. Not any of this physical stuff. Baruch hu, may he be blessed. Lo lezulato b'shituf. Not to anything else b'shituf. And I'll take 2 minutes to explain that word shituf. Shituf is a code word. Shituf is a code word for quasi-idolatry. And it goes like this, that in the Middle Ages, when Jewish theology was trying to begin a groping with how we relate to Christianity, the Rishonim started developing a concept called Shituf, which means partnership. And it's a type of quasi-idolatry. The story goes like this. Jews are forbidden to worship idols, as we know. According to Shev Mitzvot B'nei Noach, the seven Mitzvot B'nei Noach, non-Jews are also forbidden to do idolatry. But the Rishonim started coming up with an in-between category that's between monotheism and idolatry, which they said Jews are forbidden, but non-Jews are allowed. And it's called Shituf. Cooperation. You believe in one boss, but he has certain cooperative helpers. And that's idolatry for Jews, but for non-Jews it's not idolatry. It's called Shituf, and that's the way many Ashkenazi Rishonim began to define Christianity, so we would be allowed to deal with them. They're not idolaters, but we can't do what they're doing. And what does he say here? He says that to daven with your heart focused on anything but Avinu B'Shamayim, to focus on Eretz Yisrael, to focus on Beit HaMikdash, focus on Kodesh HaKodeshim, is Shituf. And he's not using that word lightly, because anyone who's reading his words knows the very, very serious baggage that goes along with that word Shituf. It's Christianity.
It's
So where do you draw the line? Why do you draw the line? Why is he drawing the line at facing a cell? Why draw the line there and not say, like the blind person, you know, just direct your thoughts upward?
Because we divide between thoughts and body. Right? There is a great efficacy, and there's a reason, and it's not harmful to turn your body toward a certain place, to keep Am Yisrael focused. I'm guessing, of course. But as far as your heart has to turn to God without any aid, without any partners, without any
intermediaries.
That's the word. They're not intermediaries.
It seems like he's kind of having a bit of both. You know, we have a model where you can exclude this whole issue completely. That is, you know, the blind person or the Rambam or the person who doesn't...
No, the Rambam agrees. We turn our bodies.
Okay. So we have other models where this issue doesn't enter. There's no risk of slippery slope of...
Two more minutes.
Yeah. So why not take them and avoid the problem?
But we don't have such a model. I mean...
No one says you cannot face Israel.
Well, the blind person, we don't worry about it. So why not say in this day and age...
He has inability to do so. That is excused because of inability.
Right.
But everybody's pointing in the right direction to go to the bathroom or... Not a good example, but to go to the, you know, go to the table or...
Well, I mean...
He's saying it's a slippery slope. You know, he say he does that, you turn to Jerusalem one day and the next day you're... You know,
okay. I don't have a final answer to you, but you know our tradition tries to go between the raindrops. We try and that was said in Hebrew. Yeah, bein atipot. But clearly, this is part and parcel of the same theological approach of the Rambam, that we want to be very sure to keep our tefillah pure, and to keep our conception of the Kodesh Baruch Hu pure. And if indeed we do have these Azarim, these aids, they have to be left in the area of the physical and not confuse the spiritual with the physical. Okay?
Could you
just open up the door so they see we're finished? I was just going to show...